Everybody dance.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are talking about Severance, a show that debuted a couple of years ago on Apple Plus. We're just getting around to it because I finally fucking watched it. And we're going to spoil the shit out of it.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Your Audi used to love running.
Wow. And Nick Glover.
Your Audi is a prick.
And if you couldn't have guessed by those two statements, and probably you couldn't, we are going to talk about the show Severance, season one. Now, as we record this, season two is about to come out in about 2 weeks. I think by the time this goes up, it will have already come out.
I believe so.
And I think the really important thing to point out here is it's on Apple Plus. And if you have not watched it, we are going to spoil the shit out of it. And it is very easy to spoil. I mean, the minute we start talking about season one, everything except for sort of the initial basic plot is major spoilers.
Do we want to try a spoiler-free description of the show before we go into spoiler mode?
I think so.
Sure.
The people...
Sure, we can do a spoiler-free description of the show. Basically, the show is about a series of individuals whose minds have been split into their work selves and their non-work selves.
Like for corporate espionage prevention and security purposes and all sorts of reasons.
But also just for the emotional well-being of, they call them outies and innies. Your outie is the person who exists outside of work. Your innie is the person at work. Your outie experiences work as going to a building, getting into an elevator, and then waking up as they come down the elevator to leave work. So imagine if your 9-to-5 job, if you just didn't know anything about your job,
you can't bring your stress home with you.
Your life is not work. Your life is everything other than work. Work is a black hole to you.
And whatever baggage you have in your real life doesn't get brought into the workplace.
Exactly. So your,
no memory.
Your grief or your depression or your alcoholism or whatever it is doesn't affect your work self. Your work self is just handling it.
It all sounds great.
And
so,
shit's whack.
So let's. So that's the spoiler free description of the show. And I will admit that is the spoiler free description of the show that I had been told and yet had not watched the show until just the last few days.
That's all right though.
Which had been my intent. I wanted to watch it. As with many shows like this, there's the goal to watch it with family and other stuff just keeps getting cycled through because we tend to watch things as a group. Mm-hmm. And that means that as a group, we have to decide what we're going to watch.
You also rewatch a lot of stuff as a family.
So yeah,
you guys have a tendency to be like, you're rewatching like a show with 15 seasons and 160 episodes.
Right, and so it takes us most of a year to get through, every
something
episode
you've already seen
of The Amazing Race that we haven't seen. But the point is that it just keeps getting pushed to the side. But when we as a podcast decide that we're going to talk about something, then I get forced to go watch it, forced in air quotes.
Forced in a good way.
And that's fortunate because this is an excellent show. And the reason I want you to know that you should go away if you haven't seen it yet is because you don't want it spoiled. You want to go in fresh. It is really, really good.
Masterpiece show.
We were very clear to Tim, if you don't think you can watch the whole show, and sometimes in the past we've recorded something anyway because Tim's been like, I don't really care about spoilers.
Or
but we're like, no, not this show.
Yeah.
Like, it's really important. And also, you mentioned before we started recording that you were ready to like grind through it.
Yeah.
But that it wasn't even a grind because it was so fucking engaging.
No, I could have. I watched through episode 5 yesterday and I finished episode 5 at about midnight and I was like, I got to get to bed because I got to work in the morning.
Yeah.
Or I might have to work in the morning. Long story. Anyway.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And I'm like, I think I'll stop here and I'll watch the rest in the morning. But I probably could have just finished it.
Yeah.
probably could have just stayed up and watched the last four episodes.
Now, Nick and I watched this show as it came out on Apple TV Plus. Yeah. So we watched it week by week.
April 2022.
And this was one of those shows that, you know, you get those shows that just all week long, you're looking at your calendar and you're like, when is Thursday or when is Sunday or when does this come out? Like,
you're
I'm dying.
You're almost wishing that you could have just walked into your room and have your innie take over until the next episode of Severance came out.
Exactly.
So for you, it would seem like no time had passed.
It would have been amazing.
Yeah, that would have been.
It is like it's one of those shows where it's hard to describe to people in a way that gives a good hook. But and then like also saying that, oh, it's a riveting television thriller from comedian Ben Stiller.
Directed by Ben Stiller.
Yeah.
Every the entire show. He directed every episode, and Adam Scott is the star.
And he's a comedian generally, Scott. You don't usually see him in serious roles.
A lot of people that have done a lot of comedic roles involved in the show.
John Turturro, he's been in a lot of Coen Brothers films.
He's a weird guy. He does a lot of weird stuff.
He does weird. And Christopher Walken.
Mm-hmm.
Walken. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I would feel like it's about half and half people I know, well-known character actors or people I know from other shows and people I've never seen before who blew me away. The woman who plays Helly is incredible. Just I absolutely loved her. All of the people who play the ones on the severed floor, it's the severed floor is basically like, it encompasses a lot of departments, it sure seems like.
Yeah.
Because optics and the brutality of it's Owen something, the department where Christopher Walken works.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a different, that they're also all severed on that in that department.
Yeah.
So at first, Adam Scott's character, who his name is Mark Scout, as far as he knows, the only people he knows are the three people he works with.
Optics and design.
And so the very beginning, the first episode is, you know, he and his two coworkers show up and there's a fourth person. He's not there. They're like, where's Petey? I said, oh, it's not like Petey to be late. And we find out Petey is no longer with the company, that we have a new trainee, Helly. And that is where the show picks up, is basically it is both through Helly as the new person's experience and also, you know, Mark Scout as being a guy who's just been promoted to boss in a sense, right? Or I guess team lead's probably a better
team
way to
leader.
Put it.
We're full on spoiler to air.
Spoiler now.
So their department is macro data refinement, or MDR. Then there's DNR, which is disposal and reclamation, optics and design, which is O&D. There are a bunch of other abbreviations you see for other departments that we don't know what those departments are.
Is that on the blueprint that PD puts together?
Yep. There's CE, MDR, TA, W&A, DNR, EQP, CL, WN, and O&D. And that does not seem to include the goat department.
The goat department. We don't know anything about the goat department.
There was an area on his map that was like personnel training or something like that. It wasn't the break room. There was like a little area that was, it had something like that. And then there was the area that was like houses. Some people might live here.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the area where Mark and his boss live or like what.
They're so far away. I mean, he has a good drive.
They seem like they drive a long way from there. So maybe there's housing on site.
You can see where he works.
Team building. That's what it is. Team building.
Yeah, you can see where he works from his home. There's a shot. I forget which episode it is, but
it's episode one because that's the only one I rewatched.
He doesn't live super far from.
Yeah, he can see the water tower.
Maybe a mile, maybe 2 miles.
But I don't think it's as
like
close
that.
As this map that Petey makes suggests.
Right. So the houses feel like they're in on the severance floor.
Well, and so people have suggested like, okay, if that's housing, maybe that's where Miss Casey, aka Mark's wife.
It could be.
Could be living or people who don't.
Who never leave.
We watched a recap that talked about, so some people have like a Lumen logo droplet pin. And it's like Casey and the woman who represents the board and like a few other people have this little droplet lapel pin that they wear. And they're like, I don't know if it's a thing or if it's
people that
you know,
we've only ever seen in the facility we haven't seen outside
who as far as we know aren't severed, but now we think maybe Miss Casey, who is Mark's wife, might be severed. Oh, it's so good.
What a fucking reveal. So he gets to prove to that woman who doesn't want to date him because he's too attached to his dead wife.
He's trying to date that lady.
To prove that he's not so attached to his dead, he thinks, wife, he tears that picture up. And then, like, he is, like, apologizing to his wife as he's trying to put the picture back together or whatever.
Yeah. And the viewer, get to see the picture.
And we don't see the picture until he puts it together and it's Miss Casey. That is such a fucking reveal.
Especially since he doesn't then see or understand that picture because that's his outie.
Right.
So he knows it's wife.
It's just for us.
But when his innie sees the, oh my God.
That's just for the audience.
Yeah. We're like, when is his innie going to find out? And I mean, there are things like that where it's like, I was 100% positive that when we saw the picture of his wife, it was going to be somebody we knew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was 100% positive, but I will admit 100% that was not who I thought it was going to be.
I genuinely figured it was going to be Helly. That was my thought, was like, that's going to be the big secret reveal. And so her then being this, like, the CEO
daughter.
Or like the CEO to be. She's going
to
be
the throne. Yeah.
Because it's been in the family the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, it's a creepy cult company.
Let's talk about the creepy
inside.
Cult shit.
Yeah,
from the inside.
Let's talk about the fucking waffle party and all the crazy cult shit that's going on.
It's like, so we watched this. We watched this video, and unfortunately titled 81 Things You Missed in Severance.
And you're like, I only missed five of these. Shut up.
It doesn't matter. It's just, but whatever. But one of the things they pointed out was that, so the restaurant he gets that gift card to when they is Pips.
Yep.
And then there's another place they go to called Gearhearts.
Yeah.
And those are both names of previous Keir CEOs.
I know.
In the family.
I noticed that myself.
Yeah.
I was like, because I watched it over.
Yeah.
You know,
just
2 days.
Close. Yeah.
I was like, Pip. That was one of those.
Uh huh.
I saw the name Pip. I'm like, oh, that's the name of that diner.
That diner. Yeah. Yep.
And then what was the other thing about that?
The tube or the. In the shrine, the mom,
the religious like illumination or Renaissance painting.
Oh yeah,
of him like
with the whip,
the nine virtues or whatever,
cat of nine tails,
flogging the you know, reason, logic, whatever it is, all the different.
And the artwork they hang in the halls and in the rooms that rotates through the departments. They say
and there's like that one piece of art they're not allowed to hang up anymore that shows a bloody uprising that they claim is between macro data management and optics and design.
Design,
but there's different versions of that.
They're wearing key cards and all of it. Like, but it's painted like it's happening in an old Renaissance.
I think the craziest thing that's unexplained to me, in terms of like scale, is what the fuck is PE. Did you notice that on the mailing labels, Tim? Like
I didn't.
Oh, the state they're in.
So all their mail that they show for like Mark's mail.
And Irving, they show a letter that he got.
The town they're in is Keir, and the state abbreviation is PE.
Which is not a U.S. state.
It's not a U.S. state.
And I don't think that's how you abbreviate. We looked at
Prince Edward Island, the province is PE, but... It doesn't match. It's not the. Yeah. It's not there.
So like, do they
It had a zip code.
Do they have like their own little? Do they all live somehow? Is this whole town where they think they live outside? But like, I don't know. It's wild. It's very cool.
The whole thing that. If there's a disappointment in this show, it's that by the end of season one, you know nothing.
Yeah.
You know, you are left with a mountain of questions.
Yeah.
And
it's like Lost in that way.
Yeah.
And the hope that the people creating this show have answers, which I think they have to.
I really feel like they do. And I think that Apple has a really good track record of investing and not canceling. It's not, if this was on Netflix, I would be like, well, too fucking bad for us. Yeah. We're never going to know.
I mean, they're
or even HBO,
like,
right?
For All Mankind is still going strong. Like Mythic Quest.
Silo
next month?
Has been guaranteed to get the full five seasons it needs to tell all three books. Like it's, and so I really think we're in a good space here.
Apple's got a fair amount of money, so I guess they can afford to make those choices.
But I mean, so do all the other places. The thing is, they don't have somebody in charge who just goes.
Yeah, but Amazon's paying, you know, like millions of dollars to broadcast football, and they got to take that money from somewhere. They got to. You can't just. I mean, how can they make money if they?
I will say I very much wanted to do that year at Con because this was like April and 2022 Convergence. I wanted to somehow figure out how to make like one of those creepy. Sexual dancer guys.
The waffle party.
The waffle party where they're like, now go be in the founder's bed. And then there's this like psychosexual interpretive dance with these creepy fucking masks. Like,
he's wearing the founder's head as a
and he left before they were done, which suggests maybe there was
going to happen.
I feel like the innies. They've been shown over and over and over. They have needs. They have desires. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, romantic entanglements. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's entirely possible that innies would occasionally get rewarded with sex of some kind.
It seems reasonable.
Well, and also it's very clear that they know that this is important because part of the wellness things they do when they give them a wellness as a reward, they give them like a wellness visit.
Defiant jazz.
And one of the things for the wellness visits is they tell them things about their outie.
Yes. Yeah.
Like that's part of it is because they know how and so I think what must have happened is they've been doing this for a long time and they know that the innies will get so curious that it's best if you give them breadcrumbing.
Yeah.
If you breadcrumb them,
even if they're telling them about their Audi is complete lies.
Well, and so like with Irving, he's got a dog named Radar, and one of the things he's told in a wellness exam is your Audi loves the sound of Radar. Which is like so true because of course you love the sound of your dog and your dog's like
I don't love
funny
the sound
noise.
Of my dogs.
You do. Yeah. You do. Even his horrible noises, you're like, hey, he's so funny. But like to say Radar, right? Like but what if they said to you, your Audi loves pimento?
Oh yeah, right.
You'd be like, oh, I love peppers. Oh, I must love spicy food. Love like you wouldn't know that's your dog. Like that's your Audi loves peaches.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
And I feel like you need to back up to the basic premise, you know, when you describe it and you're like, well, you can keep things separate.
Yep.
But imagine being an innie and all you know is work. You get into the elevator at the end of the day, the doors open and you are back at work.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's all you know.
And they talk about, so in that first episode at the foodless dinner party that his fucking brother-in-law throws. One of the things that they're saying is like when they're talking to him about being severed and they're like, wow, so your innie's just trapped there? And everyone kind of stops and it's like, I don't know if we would say trapped. I mean, I don't know. They probably don't. And it's like you realize he just kind of blinks for a second, like he hasn't thought about it. But it's like, yeah, this is a whole person. I mean, this is a person who is trapped and can't leave.
Like Bert's retirement party, and Irving freaks out and says, you know, he's dying.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just leaving. He is ceasing to exist.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because whoever he is on the outside is going to continue to exist, but the
person he loves
is gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's who he loves,
that Audi has another husband.
Yeah. And Helly is the perfect example to show you that the innie and the Audi are different people.
Oh my God.
Oh, her shit is so insane. When she like tries to sneak the note in her pocket and the elevators have scanners that detect written language.
Post-it note.
And then like when she's like, oh, and then she's like, I'll put in the official form and the form is rejected. She's like, okay, I want to film a video to explain to my Audi why I want to leave. And it's like still rejected. And so then she hangs herself in the elevator.
She threatens to, doesn't she first threaten to cut off a finger?
That's what she does to get the video.
She has the paper
cutter and she's like, let me record a video to my Audi or I'm going to chop off all my fingers. And they're like, okay. And then the Audi's like, still no. And then
Audi says, you're not a person.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's when she hangs herself in the elevator and they are like, and they catch it. And oh my God, imagine that you hang yourself And then the next memory you have is you're alive and you're back at work.
Yeah.
It's literal hell.
And you don't know how long it's been.
Yes. And it is literal hell. That's a thing. Yeah. That's a recurring theme that they show.
When Helly shows up to her first day, the welcome sign that they have is like, hello to Helly, but she is standing in the way of the letters, so it's cropped to hello to hell.
Hello to hell.
And there are a bunch of things like that where they are kind of giving us a, you know, semiotics for like the underworld
at the final
they go down.
Yep. Yeah. And in the finale, when it says Helly, a severance story, but her head covers up the Y and the story part. And so it just says hell, a severance. There's some really great, I didn't even notice it all until I highly recommend, if you love the show, before the second season airs, go find a few videos and just watch through them, because there's a lot of stuff that I didn't realize or that I forgot.
I'm gonna ask a couple of questions about the show for you. The end of it is a huge, massive cliffhanger.
Oh my God.
We learned so much in the last two episodes.
We screamed. When it happened in real time, we both just went, no!
There were a couple of times as I'm watching that episode that I just was like, how much time is left in this episode?
Uh-huh,
I'm like,
uh-huh.
I know exactly when this is going to fucking end. I know what the last beats of this season are going to be. But what questions do you want answers to in season two the most? Because there's a lot.
It's tricky because I want them to dole it out at their pace, right? Like we were saying about how after the first season, it feels like nothing is answered despite getting a shit ton of new information. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, not a whole lot is answered.
Right.
I think I'm most curious about the company more than anything else. And the other departments, the maze of the facility, the fucking founder's house that they have.
What the fuck are they up to? What is their job doing?
What? Oh, that's it. That's what I want to know more than anything else is the fucking macro data analysis, where they are picking groups of letters and numbers based on their feelings.
The way the numbers make you feel.
And sorting them into bins for some purpose.
All the names of, when they're working on the whatever file, all the names of the files that they ever mention that you see and they're working on, someone looked it up and they all relate to, they are either towns that have large bodies of water, towns that have dams or with water treatment plants. And then Lumon has a droplet of water in the O for its logo. So like, it seems like water is something to do with what they're doing, which is crazy.
But who the fuck knows, right?
Yeah. I want to know more about Harmony Cobell and like what her deal is, because she has that fucking altar
shrine
and they show on it. There's a picture of a young girl at the Keir School for Girls, who people think must be her. There's a hospital bracelet with what we think is her mother's name, with a breathing, maybe feeding tube, like as part of the altar. And then is she there to take them down? Is she there because she's a true believer? Is she there because, why is she there? She gets fired and she's still, like, both helping the company, but also she seems like she might be on Mark's side. There's some really weird shit. Like, she goes into his house and she steals that book and she steals that candle. And then she leaves the book in the conference room. You're going to tell me that woman with all those safety protocols accidentally forgot that book?
That does seem really unlikely, doesn't it?
She grabbed a candle from the box of Gemma's stuff, and then that candle shows up later. So, like, is she trying to, like, is she running?
That candle shows up and is lit by Gemma.
Yes. Yeah. Is she running psychological experiments to see if innies can recognize each other with the right, you know, influence? Or, like, what is her game?
The just real quick on the thing Molly's talking about the feeding tube or breathing tube. So, Apple's put out like an ebook for Severance that is like the training manual and some other documents from Lumon.
which is super biblical in language.
Very creepy. There's the Lexington letter is a part of it. And so in that letter, they talk about how let's see, the Nashville Tribune printed what they thought was a well-sourced expose on Lumen's feeding tube devices and lawsuits regarding them. And that newspaper was sued into oblivion and folded 6 months later for daring to go after Lumen. So there's some controversy with them and feeding tubes in the company history. And in her little shrine, alongside what is probably her mom, because the birth date is 44, her medical bracelet is a feeding tube or a breathing tube right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a lot there. I admit that one of the questions I have, I mean, there are some that are obvious, like what the fuck is the deal with Mark's wife? But
yeah.
The senator's wife, that who's just a relatively minor character, but is clearly severed.
Like, yes. She got severed to skip childbirth, maybe? Yeah. So that maybe. Her Annie gave birth to the baby so she could not notice it.
So she didn't have to experience the pain.
But also maybe to give her husband more leverage in terms of, like, going to the Congress and explaining what all the possible, like, applications of it are, because that's the thing, is it's like, what if they were like, it's not just for work. You can do it for surgery. You can do it for unpleasant conversations. Like, what? Like, you want to tell
working
your
out.
You need to tell your wife. You have a workout innie. You want to tell your wife you need to get divorced, or like maybe you have a little side piece and you don't want your wife to know, because the only way to know that is for you to not know, right? Like, your innie can date whoever he wants. Like, there's all kinds of fucked up shit.
And that seems to be. That seems to be what they're talking about in that last episode when Helly is awakened as her innie at that big gala, like they really want to push for more severance and severance in the, what do we want to say, non-work related areas.
Her father says, like, he wants to see it world, like he wants to see it everywhere. Like the goal is like that everyone is chipped. Everyone has the ability to be severed, which would make me think it would be different applications, obviously, you know? So
it's absolutely fucking nuts that these chips that are in their head that allow them to be severed are so remotely controllable that they can be triggered while these people are still all the way at home.
Yeah. That's another big, like, what the fuck moment when Dylan wakes up at home
and he sees his kid.
The fuck?
Oh my God. When the kid comes in and I can't remember his name. They call him Milkshake, but it's something else. And he's
Milchek.
And he's like, fuck. You can just tell. He's like, fuck, 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 fuck. Like, the kid's not supposed. It's the whole reason we're in the goddamn closet. Like, the kid isn't supposed to be here.
Supposed to count to 1,000.
And then, like, yeah. And so that was just such a, like. And he's like, I have a kid. He's like, no, shut up. And he unplugs him right away. And then, like, just that little germ. You see how that little detail of knowing. And his innie is mad about it. He's like, what am I supposed to fucking do with this? How am I supposed to work knowing I have a kid out there?
And Dylan is probably. Well, the interesting thing looking at these characters, you know, Dylan and Irving are probably the two most indoctrinated into the process.
Yeah.
In different ways. Irving is completely in on the company line.
Religious.
Yeah. He is a fanatic.
Him and Christopher Walken's character both have like a religious reverence for the company and its
true believers.
Yeah.
And Dylan just is like, they give prizes and down for the prizes. Yeah.
I did a good job and I got a little caricature of myself surfing, or
I think my Audi must be a muscle guy.
Yeah.
Like, or, which is so insane. Yeah. Like, you can see your body, right? Like, you're not.
I'm trying to think of some of the other rewards.
Finger traps. He had a pile of finger traps, and he was very excited about them. He got erasers, which you can't use.
It made me think of the school store. Did you guys have a school store when you were in like middle school? Where you could like earn points, and then maybe like the points could be traded in for like certain stickers, or like maybe if you got 5 gold stars that week, you get to get a toy from the prize bucket. Like, elementary school stuff like that for us, man.
Yeah, and so those two are the most comfortable with where they are. Helly obviously is far on the other end, and Mark is indifferent. Perhaps.
But he lost Petey, and then Petey comes and sees him like the day he's gone.
Yeah.
And so clearly, like, he's like, I don't know about this. Like, something's going on. Just as an aside, I love the line from Petey. We were friends. Is like, well, I'm your best friend. You're my very good friend.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I think we understand that Mark outside of work is fucked up.
Yeah. He's
a lonely guy.
But he's been fucked up, as we learn, on purpose.
Yes.
Yeah.
They faked his wife's death, as far as we can tell.
As far as we can tell.
Or something, yeah.
Or something.
Was she in on it? We don't know.
They both worked together at that college.
Yep.
And
We think.
And is it the woman that does the reintegration?
Yes,
was she
the
at
doctor.
The college too?
I think she might have been. She might have worked there too. But I think she says she remembers him. I don't remember now.
Yeah,
I don't want to make any guesses.
I don't remember. She does. She said. He says, I used to work here, and she says, I know.
Yeah.
But she also says she's the person that put that chip into his head.
Right.
And we do see Helly get the chip put in her head, and I believe that, I mean, it's several episodes earlier, but it is, mm-hmm. I think, the same person who's putting the chip into the head.
I would agree with that for Helly.
And then, you know, we find out that they know she's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's not reported.
Ugh.
Well, Harmony doesn't tell the board that the person who has figured out how to reintegrate people is the person who's putting in the chips.
Yeah.
You would think that she'd want to do that, but she doesn't. Uh-huh. So what's up with her?
And what's also interesting is the reintegration doesn't require removing the chip.
Right.
Because Petey's chip is still in. So like, somehow the doctor who puts the chip in is able to reintegrate Innie and Outie without removing the chip. And so I don't know if that happened and then Petey got fired, or like what. I would love to know that process. Like Petey, all we know is Petey is gone, and that same day Petey is fully integrated and knows where to find Mark.
And
knows to find him at Pips.
And he apparently ran, and if he'd not ran, he wouldn't have ended up dead.
Right. Yeah. So, like, somehow, I would love to see, just even if it was like a mini arc in one episode, like how that happened. You know, what's the deal with Petey?
Yeah.
What about you, Tim? What do you want to know? What questions are you? I mean, obviously,
I think I mentioned the senator's wife. What's going on there? Even though I think we may have reasoned through what's going on with her, but it is another one of those. What's going on here? What's the big plan? I also I agree with Nick. It's like, what are they doing? What is their job
at the non-food dinner party when they're talking about the company? Someone's like, Lumen, like, oh, so you must work in their medical devices. And he's like, oh no, I work on a different floor. And someone's like, don't they do, I thought they were like a tech giant.
Yeah.
And someone else says, what don't they do? And so now that's really interesting, because that tells me that there's like a whole lot of shit they do, which
they're
makes
a big
me
old conglomerate,
kind of like the company in the show Corporate.
Yeah.
Where it's like, what do they make? I mean, they make everything. Like, they make everything from bombs that we ship overseas to murder civilians to like water filters.
Like GE then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Tim, did you see or notice any of the color semiotic stuff, like with red and blue and green?
I mean, I noticed that there was some really clear color choices made. Like their screens are that old kind of green.
Yeah.
Everything in the office is so green.
Unless you actually meet your quota, and then it's full color.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But the supply room, which one wonders why they have supplies, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but everything else is very flat, white.
Mm-hmm.
And then the supply room is the paper, the reams of paper all are sorted by color.
Red, blue, and green.
Yeah.
Red, blue, and green.
There's, you know, so yes, I guess I didn't assign meaning, but
some other examples. So I mean, obviously, there's like a Matrix red pill, blue pill thing there, maybe. But so in Mark's home, when they show his fish tank, he has two Siamese fighting fish. One is red, one is blue, and there's a line down the middle of the tank that's separating them. When he drives into work, he parks in the parking spot in his beige plain car, and it's, you know, two sides of the parking lot where the cars meet in the middle with a nice dividing line of snow down the middle. And on the left side, there's a single blue car. And all the way on the right side, on the other side of the line, there's a single red car. And there's just like a shit ton of examples, like Helly's bright red hair and bright blue dress and clothing. Like there's a lot of like color theory stuff happening there with red and blue and green. And I think it's safe to say like red and blue are like inside and outside, but then green is obviously also important, like their workspaces, like in their screen, the monochrome screens, and like
and there are some very obvious, there are green spaces, right? There's that room with all the plants The green is kind of shocking within that environment.
It's so sterile otherwise.
Yeah.
I think another thing, too, that I had forgotten is that Ms. Casey says that she's only been awake 108 hours.
Yes.
That she's only 108 hours old, and the longest she's been awake was when she was tasked with watching Helly. So they only wake her up.
8 hours was the longest.
Yeah, and so they only wake her up, it seems, for these wellness things. And otherwise, she's just not awake. And so I don't know
or she's her outie, but we don't know what that means.
It's like cryo, kind of.
Yeah, and a lot of people have surmised that, like, perhaps there's something where, like, somehow, like, she was severed before the accident but didn't tell him. Or maybe he did know, but he doesn't know, or I don't know. But then, like, something happened with the accident that made it so that, like, she's only her outie is brain damaged.
Oh,
like, she can get up and move around as long as she's the building or something,
something like that.
Can you sever a person who is in a coma,
right,
or something,
or if they were already severed?
Yeah,
like, and then and then if your outie is in a coma, but then they bring your physical body up the or down the elevator, does your innie wake up and she's fine? Shit. Like, there could be some fucked up things with that.
Do you need the elevator? Because you can. There's the overtime protocol.
They could have enacted the overtime protocol and walked her out of the hospital. Yeah, there's some really fucked up stuff. It really does remind me of that first season of Lost where there's just so many questions. And I hope that they stick the landing better. I rewatched Lost this last year, and I will say it was better than I remembered it all in one go.
Damning with faint praise.
It was better than I remembered it when you watch it all together than it was watching it and waiting a year and then watching it and having it be like, felt like that you weren't getting the answers you wanted. But I really think that, I don't know, I feel like they have a strong vision for this. I think we're going to be
successful. You said the same thing about Battlestar Galactica too.
I didn't watch Battlestar Galactica pieced out. I only watched it all together.
That's what I'm saying. And you said the same thing about Battlestar Galactica.
That's true. I liked it more than others did.
You watched it all together and you were like, that ending is great because you watched it all together rather than getting it doled out. Yeah.
And also, I didn't.
Could make a difference, right?
I think there's also a big difference between if there's years of speculation and you're really involved in if you're really involved in the discovery and you're like dealing with the other fans and going through conspiracy theories and then all of that turns out to be nothing, that's more of a disappointment, you know?
Yeah, which, you know, obviously that could happen with this show as well, that we could find ourselves at the end. And I feel like they know what they're doing. They know what the eventual outcome of this is. Although they haven't announced, and I was looking up to see if they've announced how many seasons, and they've really only said we want to be able to do this and tell the story that we want to tell. Mm-hmm. So they have some idea of the story that they want to tell, and I really kind of hope that it's one of those things like The Good Place where they're like, no, this is a 5-season arc.
Yeah.
And when we get to the end of 5 seasons, this story is that we're trying to tell is over.
I expect they have a planned amount of episodes they want and a story outline. I don't see how you could make a show like this without that pretty concretely in place, especially in a post-Lost world. because a lot of TV showrunners are going to be like, listen, executive producers, we hear you. You know, we understand that there's a lot of baggage with all the mystery that comes along with a show like this.
The guy that created, wrote, and executive produced Severance, this is his filmography. 2011, League of Wonder, a short film.
Okay.
2016 to 2018, The Lip Sync Battle Pre-Show. and that's just as the writer for both of those, not as the producer.
Yeah.
2022 to present, Severance, writer and producer.
So this is
wrote
his baby.
Seven episodes of the show.
So this is his thing. This is his,
he wrote seven episodes. Yeah. Ben Stiller directed the whole first season.
I think he's directing all of it, is my understanding. So,
which
it's a vision.
Is kind of impressive when you
and
think about it.
Unusual for TV to have one director for the whole thing. Very unusual.
He wrote the pilot script. It got recognized. It got a little recognition. He submitted it as a writing sample to Ben Stiller, and Stiller was like, "Yeah, we're doing this."
Amazing, amazing! I can't wait for season two.
Yeah. Oh my God, so good.
And it will have started by the time you listen to this episode.
That's right, January 17th.
If you haven't, if for some reason you were foolish enough to listen to all of our spoilers, and obviously I don't want to judge you. You make decisions for yourself. Even though I just called you foolish,
your Audi loves spoilers.
Even with all the spoilers, I would go and give this show a watch, because the number of what the fuck moments outside of the ones we've even brought up are numerous.
It's also beautifully shot. Yeah. It's expertly acted. The writing is so funny. Yeah. I've only rewatched one episode so far. I'm going to rewatch it while I'm on my trip, but like, that first episode has so many funny lines that are just, they don't have anything to do with the plot. They're just funny little lines.
Yeah, there's like a lot of comedy in
the whole, like, you smell like a distillery. Well, I had to numb the trauma of our parents switching out my bed. just the relationship with him and his sister is very fun and good. Yeah. Like, all of the, everyone has such genuine interactions. Like, nothing feels forced. Nothing feels, when it feels fake, that's obviously part of the bit, right? That's the show. And so everyone's so good. Milchick is like a fucking psycho. I mean, he feels like a psychopath, but also I would love to know what his deal is.
He's the security guy, right?
No, he's not. He's their minder.
He's their boss. He's their direct boss.
Yeah. He's kind of like security. I mean, he's kind of.
He's not the security thug.
Yeah,
but,
no. Yeah.
His job is to keep them in line. He is their minder. I think
the goddamn paterfamilias. Yeah. I think that I would love to know his story, what the hell's up with him. And I think if this show keeps going, we might get to know more of that.
Yeah, definitely worth watching if you got Apple Plus. And there's a lot of other great stuff on Apple Plus. That's obviously where Ted Lasso happened.
Also starting this back up this month is Mythic Quest, which is on its face a workplace comedy about game developers, but it's so much fucking deeper and has so much more heart than that. And it's an amazing show that nobody's talking about.
Yeah, we did an episode about it for just season one, or did we do one for season two as well?
I think it might have been season one and two, but they both come back this month. It's awesome.
So big shout out to Apple Plus. We're not sponsored by Apple Plus. So
Apple TV Plus,
and
a million things.
Yeah, For All Mankind is on there too. So,
which is a dope show.
So go check out Severance season one, and you'll be ready for Severance season two. What a great time to be alive! If you don't pay attention to everything else,
tune in, turn on, drop out.
We've been Geeks Without God. We hope you enjoyed our show for this week. Next week we're going to be back and we'll be talking about something else. And if you can get yourself severed, then you can do nothing but listen to our episodes for a very long time.
That's right.
Started
like
episode
hell.
Number one.
I think we're still doing every other week for a while. But you know what? We'll see how the stars align.
We all have a lot of stuff going on at the beginning of the year. So every other week is what we're doing right now, and it feels pretty good. So we're sticking with it for the time being. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Hey guys, how's work?
I don't know, and that scares me.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
Geeks without God.
You let the dog out. Boom, 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 boom.